Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our Kate Moss. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
And this is
Time Pop.
We got it.
Kate Moss. Now, did you know that? Do you also, Desmond, feel that Kate Moss's earlier career was she was like subjected to use companies, but inside she was just the sweet naked surfer that we all loved?
I always picture Kate Moss as a naked surfer.
I think I said it wrong.
Is that my problem? Naked on the beach or something like that. You weren't too far off. You got the gist of the quote down.
I got the gist.
You got the feeling of it. Today.
Yep.
Today, in the present, we will be discussing about time. From the past, and you will listen to it in the future, which is now.
I like that new radio voice. This is happening now. About to get fancy in here. I would say it's about time you did that. How's that for a segue? Can we discuss the big elephant in the room in this episode?
Not yet.
God damn it.
Tonight we are doing About Time, released in 2013. Rated R. It's a very, very soft R, people. I cannot. This is a.
No buts.
Wait, why is it rated R?
This is a PG-11 movie, as far as I'm concerned.
They discuss sexual things. They discuss.
They do?
Vaginas.
They do?
They discuss sex acts. They do.
No, that's just you, Scott.
They flirt. When they flirt, she's like,
Is it because you can see her in her underwear? Is that why?
No, that's PG-13.
And the cunnilingus. And
yeah, they joke around about sexy things.
Oh, that makes it R?
I don't know why it's R. It's not a fair world.
2 hours and 13 minutes, directed by Richard Curtis, starring Domhnall Gleeson, Rachel McAdams, and Bill Nighy, along with a lot of other wonderful, and Richard Cordry as Uncle Desmond.
Desmond! Whoop,
whoop. Oh, that was Margot Robbie. I did not.
You missed that?
Everyone looked so young in this movie. 2013 wasn't that long ago, and all these actors are just babies.
All right. What I have a hard time, I mean, that's General Hux.
Hang on.
God damn it.
Before we get into this, Scott.
It's General Hux.
It's going to take us so long to get through this portion that I think we should start now. I think, Ari, I need you to break down the science of this movie.
You're funny.
It's a very scientific film, folks. The science fiction genre will never be the same. Ari, are you ready to go? How does the time travel work in this film, scientifically?
Well, scientifically, something in the XY...
The Y.
Chromosome, in the Y chromosome, is passed down, and it enables these men to just make a fist with their hands.
They gotta be in a dark closet, dark close space.
No, they don't.
That's what he says at the
beginning. That's what he says. Yeah, but he does it kind of anywhere.
It's gotta be dark and like semi-closed. He can't do it in the field.
Right.
Yeah, he's gotta be alone. He's gotta, already.
Yeah. The holes. This movie is Swiss cheese. Finish it. Finish the science.
So then he just closes his eyes and thinks real hard. And then it happens perfectly, exactly the way he wants it every time, either direction. And he can travel kind of in space-time. So
yeah.
Space and time.
Of his own life. His consciousness goes into his younger self.
Yeah.
He cannot go forward in time. Although he can come back from the past to the present, which is kind of like going forward, but whatever.
So many holes. So many.
Could he go forward to a different time?
No, he can't go past. He can't go past his current present.
No. But if he goes back 5 years, can he jump ahead 2 years from that point, or does he have to come back home, recalibrate, and then go?
I would imagine he could go to anywhere in his life he can think of and go to. It's very scientific.
Science.
All right, Scott. What's the elephant in the room?
It's General Hux.
Oh yeah.
How are we watching? I just.
What?
You're watching the snivelly, sniveling New Order, like lackey from Star Wars, the sniveling little Kylo Ren that we've had, and watching him as like this likable doof in a romance film. It's just, it's a lot of letting go. A lot of letting go has to happen.
Who turns like a mafia rat on the Empire.
Okay, so for all those people out there who are confused, I was at first. There's talking about Star Wars. There's a Star Wars movie where the lead of this movie was like a really crappy character.
He's a snivelly little general.
He was a wonderful character.
The Force Awakens and Rise of Skywalker and all that stuff.
I prefer to call him General Hugs.
Hugs. Anyway, it's hard to watch him as this like likable doof who does very well for himself.
Yes.
With two different ladies.
Well, no, I guess.
He gets offered some things.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
Okay.
Yes, he will.
He can make it past that he works for the New Order. Before that, he was a very likable guy who was just trying to find love.
Hey, I'm just trying.
For Hugs.
General Hugs.
And also, let it be known that Rachel McAdams is in a very special category of, she's a two-timer. She's in two time travel films.
Mm.
Which Ari and I were discussing. The only two we can think of that share this role was Rachel McAdams.
Yeah, people who have been in more than one time travel movie are Rachel McAdams and, Des, can you guess? You've got five.
First of all, Rachel McAdams is in Time Traveler's Wife and About Time. Great. Cemented.
And she's in Doctor Strange.
Ah! Three-timer! She's the champ! No one can beat that.
She's the winner.
Oh my God, no one can beat that. And is she in Endgame? No, she's not. I don't think, but okay. Do you know who the two-timer that Ari and I thought of is? Think about it. There are movies we reviewed both. Yeah. Both have been on the show.
You can do it, Des. You can do it.
Oh, I believe. No, there's two other two-timers.
Two other two-timers?
Two other two-timers, yeah.
Hang on. I got to.
This is the fun portion.
No, you can't look it up.
No, don't look it up.
Oh, I can't look it up?
You got to guess.
I was just going to look at our list.
No.
Think real hard.
Just make guesses.
Think real hard. Who's been in a lot of movies?
Try this at home, folks.
Oh. What's her name from Back to the Future and Time After Time?
What's her name?
The.
Oh, Mary Steenburgen.
Mary Steenburgen.
But we haven't done Back to the Future 3 yet. But you're right. That is a two-timer. This is okay.
All right. Who is it?
You want to do one?
I don't know the ones you're talking about. So one of them that I thought of was Bruce Willis. He was in Looper and he was in 12 Monkeys.
Oh.
Okay. Yes.
And the other one is your friend and my friend, Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Who is in both Interstellar and Tenet because he's in all the Nolan films.
Yes, that's right.
In small roles.
Yeah. That's right.
So it's a fun club. And people at home listening, if you can think of other two-timers or three-timers, throw them our way. It's exciting. It's fun.
You can beat the three-timers. Hit us up at time_pop_pod at Twitter to tell us about your two-time and triple-time, two-time and time travelers.
Movies.
Traveling through time movies.
Yeah. All right. So that's the basics. We got that out of the way. Did people like the film? Should we discuss or get more into the science?
as a romance movie, it's adorable, right? It's adorable, right? It's super cute. It's such a chick flick. I'm sorry, but it really is.
Only she can say that.
And it's great. As a time travel movie, not so much.
It's really weird in the sense... This is the second time I watched this. The first time I watched it, I'm so used to time travel films with tension and the world is at stake. The fabric of space-time, they're going through and I'm like, oh my God, she's going to have cancer or she's going to find out about time travel, is going to break up or the space-time continuum. And I keep waiting and all these things that seem like it's going to be. And it's not really. He just kind of throughout his life, he courts her and then they have kids and things happen and then it just ends. It's a very anti-time travel, time travel film. Even in the Wikipedia, it even says that. He wanted to make one that was very against. His idea was first to write about like a perfect day. And then he decided to throw the time travel stuff in after it. It's a very non-time travel, time travel film. And he's even this, it can't actually like solve your life. It can't make someone fall in love. Just makes your days better.
Yeah.
I thought of this as like, it's a good like beginner movie for people who are not big into time travel. And are curious about time travel, this is the perfect like beginner introduction to time travel because it's not super scientific. It's not super confusing. Pretty easy to follow as far as what they're trying to convey. So
and a few things go wrong, but nothing that like spins out for the rest of the movie. Like he doesn't have to spend the rest of the movie solving one of his problems.
Right, right.
There's no repercussions. Well, oh, actually, there is one. We'll get into that later.
There it's is, but once he figures out that there are repercussions, and then his dad just tells him how to fix it.
And he fixes it, yeah.
Which we'll get into that too, how he managed to fix that so quickly and easily.
He's a big doofus, and it's a thing of like he gets to get second chances at things. He's very awkward. You know, the film would almost make more sense to me if the whole film was about trying to get her and failing, right? The first like 30 minutes is that. And about time, like it's about time he finally got it to work. That would make sense. It would almost hold the tension if he like keeps trying and it doesn't work and it just, he almost gives up and then maybe he makes it happen. That would have made more sense.
I thought for sure that was going to be what happened. I thought for sure, yeah, he was going to keep fucking it up. And then she was going to meet him for the first time at the end of the movie. And I thought for sure it was going to be like your name. I thought for sure the last thing we were going to hear was, well, it's about time.
Yeah. Have you seen this before, Des, or is this the first time?
This is the first time. That's what I want to know. What is the other movie that's very similar? Isn't there another one where a guy goes into a closet to time travel?
Are you thinking of Time Traveler's Wife?
Or the is Frequently Asked Questions? Is that one?
No, it must be Time Traveler's Wife. That must be the one
He doesn't go into a closet, though. He just can't control it. But that's the one he appears in her life at various ages through various times.
And it's a love story. It's Rachel McAdams.
Oh, and let's thank Katie from somewhere for directing us towards this movie. This is one that's been hovering around our list for a long time, and she finally pushed us over the edge. And thank you very much for that, Katie. I am with you, Ari. I enjoyed watching this movie so much. There are definitely lots of times where I would have watched this movie and just been like, oh, I am sticky from all the sap. But like,
yeah,
I'm kind of going through a moment now where I'm like trying to enjoy the moments more and live in the now. And that's really what this movie
is all about. Yeah, it's a feel good movie. You know,
awkward moments are pretty funny.
It's a very sweet movie.
They're very awkward. Some of the awkward moments are hard to sit through. It's like, oh, my God, what is he saying?
But then he gets to redo it.
Scott, have you ever eaten at a blackout restaurant?
No, I'd wanted to. They were like getting like a big deal for a while. And, you know, I like to try weird stuff. I had wanted to. It was probably around when this movie was made. Yeah. When there was like one or two in the city.
Are they still a thing?
They're rare, but they still exist.
I'm sure there's.
Wait, what's the point of it?
Your other senses.
To enhance your senses. Yeah. Like you can't see your food. And so like it's tasting with your mouth.
And your smell.
Yeah. And actually, the one here, the servers were all blind individuals. So it's kind of a place they could work.
The first thing that pops in my head with that is like, you're just asking for spills and like, do they give you a bib?
I think there's a whole way to do it that they suggest. And it's like, it's an interesting first date place.
I wouldn't want to be the busboy at the end of the night when they turn the lights on. Just like, gee, Christ.
Exactly. That's what I think of too.
You guys are monsters.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a cute film. I read somewhere in this that like it did fairly well. Like it made definite money, like 12 million budget, 88 million box office. But it was like a huge hit in Korea.
Oh, really?
For whatever reason, this film took off in Korea. Wow. So I find that interesting and random. Yeah, South Korea. The film was a surprise hit in South Korea, where it was watched by more than 3 million people. One of the highest numbers among the foreign romantic comedy movies released in Korea. It grossed a total of like 23,434,000 there. Its highest country total.
They're not strangers. We could do a whole year on Korean time travel movies.
They like their time travel.
Yeah. So it starts out very just him just living his life, you know, and he keeps talking. He does mention during, like almost the prologue, like how cool his dad is. Like his dad's always kind of there. Always makes time for him, plays a lot of ping pong, reads all the books over and over again. That's his passion. And their Uncle Desmond is a little
off.
A little off. Yeah, he can function, but he needs some family around to function well.
Like Desmond.
And like Uncle Desmond. It's Uncle Des. And then his dad. So he apparently recently turned 21. And then so on. Was it New Year's Day? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, he had an awkward New Year's Eve, so that's probably relevant.
Yeah.
Like he didn't kiss a girl that wanted him to, and it was weird and whatever. And then, yes, New Year's Day comes.
And that's when his father takes him aside and says, well, I got a little something to tell you that all of the men in our family can do. We can time travel. And
wait, does that mean that Uncle Desmond can time travel too?
Is that his dad's brother?
It's probably his mom's brother, I'm guessing.
Okay.
I'd like to think if he could, maybe it's why his brain got a little moshy. Maybe he overdid it and he's like a little, I could see it.
Yeah.
Brain a little bit.
But they would have said that.
Probably.
I could see that being like, who knows it? Well,
I think it is his brother's brother, his dad's brother. Because remember when he says, when the dad dies, he says, he told me he loved me and that was my best day. Like he was very invested.
Oh, yeah.
In the guy's dad. I think it is his brother.
Is this from a book or was this just straight to screenplay?
No,
I think this was a book.
Oh.
It feels like it was a book.
It didn't say it. It talks about the director thinking of the idea one day when he was talking about not being happy in life. And then he talked about a perfect life and then he threw time travel. So it does seem like a book, but I think he wrote it for this.
Because I'm just wondering if Desmond was one of those things that
kind of got cut out.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so if that is his brother, his father's brother, then he should have been able to time travel too, but they didn't even hint or talk about that at all. So, all right.
So his birthday is January 1st, it appears.
Right.
Oh, right.
So magically at the age of 21, this genetic anomaly kicks in and he can all of a sudden time travel.
Yeah, he does it. Of course, his dad tells him how to do it. He says, okay, fine, dad, I'll go upstairs and have a little laugh. And when I come back here, I'm going to give you some shit. And then he goes upstairs, he gets in the closet and he closes his eyes and he squeezes his hands and he thinks about last night. And he goes back to the New Year's Eve party where he didn't kiss the girl and he kisses her. Where does the Tim of that moment go?
Yes. Should we talk about it now? Let's just get over it, right?
Let's get right into it.
Please do.
So there's two flaws. So when future Tim wants to go back, he goes into his closet, clenches his fist, and he goes back in time to that night, right? But that means when he shows up that night, the him of that night is in the closet suddenly, where he wouldn't normally have been. So that means whenever you decide to go to the past, the version of you gets summoned to that same space.
Okay, so are we agreeing that the traveling is consciousness and not the actual body?
Yes.
No.
Yes. He travels back to being a little boy later. You see the little boy's body. It's the younger version of him.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
So it has to be the consciousness.
And it's only, you only travel to yourself in your timeline.
Okay. And you're in those clothes of that night and everything.
But do you hear what I'm saying? He goes to the closet of, say, like 2013, whatever, 2009 him. The 2013 goes back to 2009. And he's in that closet in his old clothes, which means the him of that time just got summoned into the closet.
Yeah,
so, to receive him?
So there's a lot of holes. So
yeah.
They're essentially saying that you travel in consciousness, right? So if you think about that, the present, what's his name? Tim?
Yeah.
Gets in the closet and then just is there. His body is just there in the closet.
Right, when he lands.
Just waiting, right? His consciousness has left his present self and gone into his
past. It doesn't make sense. He should have just went to himself wherever he was at that time.
Yeah, and his past consciousness. Now, the first time that they show us, he is in the closet and he steps out of the closet wearing the same clothes as he did for the New Year's party. And so we're here, you know, thinking that like, oh, the past guy was just in the closet or he got summoned.
Or he got erased.
Yeah.
And he took it over.
So, but there are times later on in the movie where he like in the movie theater, he goes back and just all of a sudden appears in his consciousness while still sitting in the seat. Or they're just alluding that like they jumped ahead to that part, but we don't know where he actually landed.
Well, he always says, excuse me. And he goes to like a bathroom or a closet and then he comes back. That's generally the.
Yeah, because that first time he's in the same closet he jumped from. But in most of his jumps later, it's not like he always jumps to that same place.
He usually leaves a room, goes to a bathroom or a closet and comes back in the room.
But that means the past him would have had to have. Left,
right.
Gone to the bathroom, get possessed by his future self, and then go back.
For example, his younger self is sitting in a movie theater. He decides to go to that time. He goes to a bathroom, goes to that past. Whatever version of himself back then is sitting in the theater gets transported to the bathroom. He takes over his body and then goes back in the theater. It just.
Which didn't happen the first time around. Like he doesn't have memories of his past self suddenly walking into a dark closet for no reason.
Well, here's another question that I'll just bring up now since we're talking about the questions is what happens to his past memories, his past self's consciousness? There's just like hours or a day of just blankness and he wakes up
again. Or does he remember what he did? But it,
Well, there's one moment when, hey, we're just going to get into this, folks. Jesus
Christ. Let's get into it.
So at one point, it's not explained at all. As far as his dad explains it, this is not fucking possible. He takes his sister into the closet and holds her hand and travels back with her.
So that means that her consciousness is being taken over by her future self.
Right.
So what happens to her
when she pops out and goes back to her time?
Yeah.
Her younger self was just like, just remembers it like she did it.
There's a little bit of a butterfly effect because that's the one time when she comes back to the present, she has a moment of like, oh.
And she remembers all the changes that happened since then.
Oh, I love this guy now. And it's like, oh, cool.
Right. But my question is, what happens to your past's memories for those 2 hours that you were possessed by your future self? Do you just like wake up and you're in a different place 2, 3, 4 hours later with no memory of what you did because your future self was controlling your brain?
Yeah.
So they don't talk about that at all.
Yeah. I think he just zaps out of that body. Yeah. No, you're right. Cause then your past self, even if your past self remembers, they still regain control of you.
Yeah.
In a dark bathroom. And they're still like, I kissed that girl. That's weird. But how the fuck did I get to this bathroom? That's even weirder.
The other thing you could think about is like, what happens to that timeline? You know, he fucks up with the girl. He goes, I'm going to go to the closet. He goes back in time. Does that timeline just continue on with that mistake? I think we're supposed to think no. I think we're supposed to think there's one timeline. And when he goes back, he just erases and changes.
So it's supposed to be butterfly effect.
Yes.
Okay. So we've got consciousness time travel, not physical time travel. And we've got butterfly effect.
And he mentions it when his dad's first explaining it to him. He says, what about the butterfly effect? And he's just like, we haven't destroyed the world yet.
Yeah.
This is the most non-sci-fi sci-fi.
Well, that's what I mean. This is like the perfect starter time travel movie. Like
time travel for babies.
Time travel for
dummies, not dummies.
For first graders.
Back to the Future is a good entry level.
That's true. But
yeah.
So it's one timeline. It's funny because when he was dealing with his dad and he's go back, I was saying, Arya's like, because his dad does this, will he know that he's going back and changing anything? And it's no. Once you go back in your own timeline, you change it for everybody else. Even the other time travelers don't know.
Yeah.
They just think it was normal. That was cool with the one scene with his dad where he's like, have we had this conversation before? And the dad's like, yeah, a bunch of times.
Yeah. But also in the moment where they're playing ping pong and all of a sudden the son looks at him differently and the dad like knows. He's like, oh, where are you from?
Yeah.
You
know? It's like time traveler's wife. Like, yeah. They just pop in at different points in his life.
And yeah. I thought that was interesting.
It's very simple. He's not trying to steal money and make himself rich. He's not trying to change the world with his knowledge and prevent catastrophes. He's just trying to get a girl and not fuck up.
So in his attempt to get a girl, so he spends the first summer of his new powers trying to get his sister's friend's cousin or something like that. She's staying with them for a month or something. And so he keeps playing with time travel. You know, he like puts suntan lotion on her and he fucks it all up. And it's funny, his dad just kind of watches him go in the house like, oh, he's going to take another crack at this.
Yeah.
And then he comes out and then it's the last night she's going to stay with them. And he finally gets up the guts to be like, hey, let's take this to the next level. And she's like, oh, it's the last night. Like, you know, if you had mentioned something earlier, then maybe. So he's like, okay. So then he takes a big swing at the first night she's there and says, I really like you, which was not the right move, but they did it to prove the point that you can't make love that easily. Because then she says, well, let's hang out for the summer and see what happens on the last night.
And he's like, right. So you can't, all this time travel, you can't solve, you can't create love. You can't solve everything.
Yeah, that's what he says. And so then he goes to the big city. So that's basically the summer of him learning his powers. And so then he goes to the big city to stay with his dad's old college asshole. Like, I don't know where.
Yeah. The playwright.
I like this character a lot, but he came out of nowhere.
So drunk and so depressed.
Yeah.
Opens the door like, what the fuck do you want?
Yeah, I had a brilliant idea until you knocked on the door. And so he's working at a law office and I don't know what you'd call it. He's an underling at a law office. And he goes out to dinner with one of his law office buddies. And that's when they go to the dark restaurant and they're in this pitch black restaurant. And since they're walk-ins, they sit him down with two other walk-ins. And so it's Rupert, I think, Rupert and Tim and Mary and her prostitute, set in the movie people.
I have a question.
So prostitutes are
no,
people that you pay.
You're not a prostitute.
For... That's not my question. Question is, if you were seriously dating a woman who had the same name as your mother, would that be weird to you?
Yes.
I've done it once.
Really?
Yeah.
You've had sex with a woman who had the same name as your mom. And I realize that you don't call your mom by her first name. You call her mom, but like,
it was,
that's weird, right? Why would the writer choose to name the woman after the, after
it was a funny, awkward conversation piece between them.
Yeah. I think they did it just for the joke.
Yeah.
Like, I think.
Yeah.
Cause he used it a few times and that made him even worse. Like a serial killer.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about it.
Do you want me to make it really weird for you, Ari?
Yes.
She was a much older woman.
The woman you dated?
The Karen I dated.
I know this story.
Yeah.
It's for a different podcast.
It is. Anyways.
I just thought that was a distracting choice.
It would be much harder for me to date a Julie, which is my sister's name, because I say Julie all the time.
Yeah, that's my point. Is you don't say, yeah.
I don't call her Karen, so.
I got a better one. What if you date someone with the same name?
Ooh. A Kelly and a Kelly, that could happen.
Yeah, and whether or not it's same sex or opposite sex, you could have a female Michael, Charlie.
Yeah.
You could have all kinds of Sam.
I have a friend.
Sam and Sam.
I have a friend who ended up marrying a guy who has the same name as her brother, but they go by, like, her brother is Steven and her husband is Steve. That's what everybody calls him, but it's weird, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's for another podcast.
Okay.
You love what you love, Ari.
You can't help who you love.
You can't help who
if
you love.
If your dad's like a Michael or a David, I mean, it's too common.
Super common. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
So he meets Mary in the dark restaurant and they hit it off. And then outside of the restaurant afterwards, when they meet each other for the first time, she's kind of like awkward and adorable. And he's awkward and I guess adorable. I don't know. And he gets her number and he's super excited. And then he goes home to find his housemate, the playwright, is in a bad mood. He is upset. When he asks what happened, he says, "My play was so bad tonight. It's going to ruin my career. My actor forgot all of his lines. We all sat there for 30 minutes." He said he describes this whole scene where he was just the worst night of his life. His career is over. Everything is for shit. And so this guy, Tim, is like, "I'm going to fix this," right? So he goes back in time. And then to the earlier that night, this is the same night where he met Mary. So he's not going to the restaurant. Instead, he's going to the theater to help his actors remember their lines. And he does. And it's a success. And the guy remembers his lines and everything's great. And after the play is done, he goes to his phone and he opens his phone to find her number, Mary's number. And what do you know? The number is not there.
No, it's there. Is it all zeros?
No, it's not there.
He doesn't have it because now he's changed that timeline.
No, I thought he had it and he tried to call it.
No, he was typing in Mary and there was nothing there.
Oh, that's why I saw Mary. Okay, he was doing a search. Okay.
Doing a search for Mary and there was nothing there. And then he realized... And for me, I'm like, duh. Like,
yeah. Totally.
You didn't go.
Memorize it. Oh, but it wouldn't matter. She wouldn't have known him.
Yeah.
This is time travel 101, people.
Yeah. Like, duh, dude. Come on. Like, you should have known. I would have known, like, any, you know. So anyway, so he doesn't have this woman's number. And he doesn't go back and redo it. Right? Because then the play issue would still be a thing. So he leaves everything how it was. The play was a success.
I have another solution. Could have went back further in time, helped out with the play, and still met her that night.
That's true.
Yeah. But without that, the actual dinner probably overlapped. And without that dinner, it doesn't work. Because she falls in love with him.
I know, but he could have went back to before the night of the play to help them. There's other...
Oh, you're right. He could have just... Yeah. He could have
the day before.
Well, no. What he needed to do was like... He wrote down the lines on the cue cards for the guy. It was like the guy had like a brain fart or something. Anyway. So during this dinner, they had a deep conversation about Kate Moss, right, Des? Our constant yes. For this episode.
Yes.
Kate Moss, the supermodel, our woman Mary, really loves Kate Moss, I guess, as like an artist.
Yeah, or like a photographer, but she's not.
No, she's a model. She's not a photographer. She loves Kate Moss's pictures of Kate Moss, which another weird choice that I thought.
Hold on. While he's having dinner with her, is he having the perfect dinner because it's pitch black and he can time travel back 10 seconds at a time?
What? No, they didn't show that.
No.
Court, but they showed him in a pitch black room, which is how he time traveled.
He's not psychologically intimidated. Plus, she's like a good match for him.
No, they would have showed that or said that.
That's not the intention. I think he just...
The intention was it was a good a spark. It was a spark. Yeah.
Okay. Meet cute.
They had a connection.
And by meet cute, I mean M-E-A-T cute.
A meet cute. Not a meet cute. A meet cute.
Meet.
No, not meat. Meet. Desmond, meat, not meat.
You guys talking about meat?
No, meat.
Like what kind of podcast is this?
Meat?
Meat.
No, meat.
Meat.
Desmond.
Meat.
Met cute.
They met cute.
So they have this conversation about Kate Moss. And so when he's reading the good reviews that his roommate had, he notices on that same paper that there is a Kate Moss exhibition.
Right. So he decides to stake out the exhibition for however many days, waiting for her to show up. And she does.
Adorable.
And it's super awkward because he approaches her like he knows her, but in fact, they've never met before. And it's super awkward. And then he tries to do it again. Like he goes back in time and tries to do it again. And it's still awkward or something. But then eventually he ends up hanging out with her.
Still awkward.
Still awkward. I don't know. They end up dating.
Yeah, well, it's awkward because she's not looking for love anymore. Like she kind of grows to think he's not a total weirdo, but it doesn't matter.
Because she has a boyfriend. He meets her boyfriend.
That's right.
Yeah, he's like, you don't have a boyfriend.
And she's like, no, I do. I met him like a week ago. And he's like, you met him a week ago? Where? Where specifically? What time? Where were you? And he awkwardly gets all the information about where exactly they met. It was her friend's party, got the address, got the time. So he shows up before the time that they met, meets her, somehow gets her to leave the party. And as they're leaving the party, the boyfriend walks up.
I love that moment. I was just saying, because like they're walking out of the party. This guy just bumps into them. He's like, oh, what a doofus that guy is. And she just looks at him as a weird stranger without the like the significant events that might lead to them falling in love. The person that's annoying on a train might be someone in alternate reality became your life partner. But then they're just like some douchebag without all the things that like create your spark and create your fire. They're just whoever.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept.
Yeah, that was one of the fun concepts about it.
How close were you to being Ari's douchebag, Scott?
I mean, we worked together, so it's a different story. But I've been other people's douchebags.
A job is a great place to wear somebody down.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I know where you're going to be tomorrow.
So they have another adorable dinner.
Everyone out there, I just want to make it fair. I met my wife bowling.
That's cute.
We didn't actually meet bowling, but we were hanging out at a party. And I somehow got her away from that party to go bowling with me. And here we are.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
That's our little...
Similar. He got her away to go out to eat from a party. You got her to go bowling.
Yeah,
exactly.
This is your story.
That's my time travel story.
Yeah.
So they just fall in love.
Yeah, they hit it off. They start dating. Things are great. And then there's like an awkward scene where her parents all of a sudden show up.
Yeah, that's right. He doesn't time travel for the parents at all, does he?
No, he does. He redoes that, remember? Because they walk in and...
Oh, God!
She was like, okay, you don't live here and then don't mention anything about oral sex. And he's like, okay.
Why would I mention that?
Yeah. And then the parents walk in and she blurts out, well, he lives here. And he's so taken off guard by that he's like, but there's no oral sex. And then he like excuses himself and then redoes it.
That should have been our constant. With oral sex as the constant.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Mr. So I enjoy cunnilingus with your daughter.
And then he's like, I'm going to go to the closet.
Yeah. So he does redo that one.
And then
Oh, yeah. The Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
Second part.
So they're living together, loving each other. And then the girl that stayed with him for the summer.
In the beginning, yeah.
Pops up.
And this is like, he thinks is the girl of his first love and the girl of his dreams.
And this is 3 years later.
Where did
he went to theater? She hates theater, so he went out with his buddy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He invited what's her name in the movie? Mary to go to the theater. She said she wanted to sleep all day. He goes with Rupert. He meets Margot Robbie, and then she's just like super taken by him. She's like, "Oh, this is the guy that got away and is all over him."
Well, such a great moment.
First, there's a couple of redos that he has to do. Like he approaches her and she's like, "This is my girlfriend." He's like, "Oh, you're gay. That makes me feel so much better because you rejected me 3 years ago." And she's like, "I'm not gay. This is just my friend who is a girl."
That used to throw me off back then too. You just don't call, if I have a male friend who's my platonic friend, I don't call him my boyfriend. That's my friend.
No, it's a girl and thing.
Girls used to do that. Yeah. I'm going to be my girlfriend, but it's like, why not just say your friend?
And then, so then he redoes it and she's like, "This is my girlfriend." He goes, "Oh, that's super cool. Like, I didn't think you were gay or anything." And then the other girl's like, I'm gay.
Yeah. Do you have a problem with that? He's like, "No." So he tries that like two or three times. It doesn't work.
And then he gives up and talking to them all together.
Yeah. He's like, redo. I'm not even going to talk to them. They leave the other direction. But then as they're walking home, they all run into each other. And she's like, then she's all about it. She's like, "Yes, you and me, we're going to go to dinner. Let's ditch our friends." And the two of them go to dinner and they have a nice time. And he's still, you know, smitten by her. She's this beautiful woman. And then she's like, "Walk me home." And he walks her home. And then she says, "Come inside." And he's like, "No." And he has a realization. And then he goes home and he awkwardly proposes to his girlfriend while she's asleep in bed.
And the whole night with again, most time travel movies, all I'm thinking about is, how is he going to fuck this up and try to fix it with time travel?
It's totally set. All these things that I think are setting you up. It's like, oh, he's going to sleep with her and then he's going to try to go back in time, but she's going to find out. And nope, he just doesn't sleep with her. And he just goes back.
Nope.
Because it's a love story. You guys make
the right choice. And then they just, I think this is when he's like, I basically stopped time traveling for a while. Like, life was just great.
Yeah, like, they even have, like, this, like, almost like a disaster of a wedding.
Yeah.
But he doesn't fix it. He leaves it the way that it is because she says she's happy with it. And then they have a kid and life is, like, normal.
So they have a nice little in the church. But then they have to walk really far to the reception. And it's just pouring and dumping and winding and umbrellas are breaking. Then they get under the tent collapses.
It's a great scene because they love it. They're all laughing. It's raining on them. They're like, "This is hysterical. This is life. We're wet. It's fun."
Yeah.
It's a really great way to take that because normally everyone's like, "My day is ruined." And
even she's like, "Yeah." And she's totally about it. Like, he's almost waiting. Because I think at one point he kind of hints to like, maybe I should fix this, and says something to her. And she's like, "It's perfect."
Yeah. I wouldn't change a thing. Yeah.
Except for they finally get inside where it's dry to do the toasts.
Right, the best man toasts.
So does this mean he has to go? So does this mean he? Okay, so at one point, folks, she says, "We need to plan this fucking wedding and get it done. And you need to start making decisions. So every time you make a decision, I'm going to get undressed."
Right.
And so she's like, "Where is it?" He's like, "Let's have it here." Shirt comes off. "Who's your best man?" This guy, pants off. And it keeps going through it. And they have great sex and it's amazing. So does he have to go back to that night every time, or can he just go back?
Yeah, but then he can hop back. He goes back to that night, or no, when he asks, and he just says, "No, it's this guy, no, it's this guy," and then he hops back.
Well, not until they're done having sex.
Oh, we forgot about the first time that they slept together, and he went back in time to do better and better each time.
So he had sex three times in a row, mentally, but not physically.
Yeah, oh, yes, that she's like, "But wait, can he do it three times?" Like, yeah, he's just his spirit's going back, but his body had not done it yet.
Yeah, so he physically only has sex once, but he mentally had sex three times.
Yes. But he's still spent because he still had to, you know, use all that energy. And he's just like, "I'm going to have the best night's sleep ever." But I just want to say, she comments on the fact that she only had sex once. She's like, "Oh, only once for my prince.
My prince perfect Charming. Guy." Yeah. But the way that they kind of implied it was like the first time they had sex, he was like, "I'm sorry, that doesn't usually happen, you know." And she's like, "It's okay." He just said
normally it'd be better.
Normally it's better. But you know, it's like the joke about, like, you know, the first time for men is really quick and whatever. And then he goes back and redoes it. And she's like, "Oh, good job. Usually, you know, men mess it up on the first time." And he's like,
sprawled out this time on the bed.
And then the third time is like even more amazing. And they're on the floor. And it's like, you know, but so they made it seem like he's just going back and doing it again. But so he got better mentally.
Yeah.
By the third time.
he didn't trip over the shoes.
Yeah.
The first time he tripped over the shoes, the first time he tried to undo her bra from the back, but it was a front strap. So he got that.
Right.
No problem. And like, and the third time he just took her.
Yeah.
He didn't ask.
Well, that was a cute scene.
Yeah.
But so at this point they're married and she's pregnant right away. And they have their first kid.
A girl.
They have a girl named Posey.
Not a time traveler.
Not a time traveler. She's a girl. And life is great. And then Posey's like one or something like that. She's like...
Yeah, it's her first birthday, I think.
She's around one. And is this...
the sister.
Was this the sister scene?
Yeah.
So the sister throughout this whole movie has had this really douchebag of a boyfriend who she's like broken up with, gotten back together. And she's been drinking. Apparently she's just, her life is not going super great. And she drank too much and got in a car accident.
This is the most amount of conflict in this film. This was like the thing that like the most intense it got.
Yeah. The sister Kit Kat.
Yep. Who's this free spirit and just pretty adorable.
Yeah.
And then Mary and Tim go to the hospital and she is beat up, like bruised and stitches and cuts all over the place.
And I thought for sure this, and again, this movie, you know, doesn't want to put us in too much turmoil. I thought for sure she died.
Same here. I thought she was going to die too.
Me too.
But it was just a bad car accident and she was bruised up and stuff. And so I guess he goes back in time to fix it. And the way that he fixes it is he picks her up, right?
Yes.
He, instead of her driving herself that day, he went and picked her up and brought her to whatever day because she was drunk. She had been drinking and driving, and that's why she got into the accident. But it's kind of implied that she's been drinking so much because she's miserable in her relationship.
Yeah.
So by him going to pick her up this day because she was drunk, he changed which sperm left his body at a very specific time.
Yeah. No, that's when he goes back. Because doesn't he first go back to try to stop them from meeting?
Is that what he does?
Because when he just goes back one day...
He takes her...
No, but when he goes back one day to pick her up for the party...
Oh!
That doesn't cause the change. It's when he goes back to when she met him before he had the baby.
Right.
So the first time, right. So the first time he tries to fix it, he tries to go like way back in the day. So I guess they blame the boyfriend for her drinking and for her miserable life.
Yeah, she just says she's never been able to find happiness. It's like a deeper issue.
Yeah.
So they say, okay, it's this guy. We're going to go back to that New Year's party all the way back then. And she brings her with?
He brings her with. That's when they go in the closet and hold him.
Oh, that's right.
And he just shows her if she didn't meet him, he hits on somebody else.
Because they have a conversation before this where he's just like, how are you doing? What's going on? What's up? And she basically just says, I'm a failure. Like every family needs a shit heel that just can't do anything right. And so that's when he confides in her. He's like, you know, he feels bad that she's taken on this role in the family. So that's when he tells her, I'm going to tell you a big secret. And then this is when, for somehow, some reason, he can time travel with somebody.
Right. So apparently all you have to do is go into this dark, darkened area with this person and hold hands. And then you can also transfer their consciousness into their past self, who has been summoned to this closet on a specific night.
Science.
Yes. So she now is possessed by her future self, sees the guy who eventually becomes the shitty boyfriend, sees him hitting on another woman, and she punches him. And
because that's when she realizes her and her brother are having a conversation and they walk by each other and he basically just immediately starts hitting on someone else. So she realizes that she was just the cute girl that hoed in his vision. She was not his love or anything.
So then they go back to the present, and this is the like major butterfly effect in the closet. She gets this like gasp and she says, it's so-and-so, whatever that guy, the redheaded guy, the really redheaded guy.
Oh yeah.
What's his name? The friend, the super
Jay.
Yeah. So that's when she's like, oh, it's Jay. And she realizes that she's been with Jay and she's happy and, you know, and then that's that. And so then he comes home. Our main guy, Tim, comes home after doing all this, after fixing his sister's life. And he goes to pick up his daughter and he picks her up and it is a brown-haired boy.
Yes, it is.
And he's like, what the hell?
So he goes to dad.
He goes to dad and he says, what's going on? And dad says, you changed things enough to where, you know, of the specific sperm that fertilized the egg.
If it was, yeah, if it's.
Didn't make it.
Let's say, yeah, butterfly effect. He changed the life of his sister. And the day that they had sex, her sister like wants to come over and have a dinner. And they have it an hour later.
Yeah.
Or two. They don't have it that day because they're busy and they're tired. You don't have that same kid.
Or he lasts 30 seconds longer.
Yeah, whatever the reason is.
It's very specific. That's a really cool. That's the most scientific thing maybe that they did.
Yeah.
What isn't cool about this is how quickly he fixes it.
Yeah.
He gets the exact same. Apparently he goes back one more time.
Yeah.
And then like this should have been, again, half the movie. Him going back over and over again until Posey.
Yeah.
Showed up again. I thought for sure he was at least going to have a different little girl.
Yeah.
Like I was like.
There should be a repercussion that he learns from.
So he apparently
knew. But this film doesn't do that.
He knew the exact moment he had to go back to undo what he did. So he undoes it. He has his daughter. His sister gets in the car crash. And the way that they resolve that now is they just sit by her side till she has the realization of like, oh, I should break up with my boyfriend.
Have a hospital intervention.
Right. So then she's like, I should really break up with him. And then I think he says, have you ever thought about Jay? And she's like, what? Jay? Really? Oh, no, I've never. He likes me. What? Okay. Yeah. And then it's all fixed. And he has his daughter back. And then they have like a third kid or something.
But then they have another kid.
So she wants the third kid, but he's, oh yeah, we're missing.
Well, we haven't gotten to the second kid yet.
Oh, then they have a second kid.
And then the dad gets sick.
And then the dad gets sick.
And then the dad dies, I believe.
Well, no, he gets sick.
Well, eventually he dies.
Right. So he gets sick.
Oh, another, just like, again, no consequences. So Mary is getting ready to go to a big dinner with an author. She's it's an annoying scene. And then it really turns to shit when they realize they've left Posey alone for an hour and she has shredded the manuscript that she's supposed to go discuss during this dinner.
Yeah.
And that's when they get the phone call. Oh, that's when they get the phone call about dad.
He tries to get out of it. He's like, I'm going to go to the closet. She's like, no, you're not leaving anywhere. You're not getting out of this. Like, I just got to go to the bathroom. It's like, nope.
Yeah, that's and right.
You see a situation that he almost can't fix, but then they get the call about his dad. Yeah.
So that is, okay. I was thinking that was about the sister, but yeah, that is right now when they find out that dad has cancer.
But eventually, right, the dad dies and he's not, I mean, he's bummed about it, but not super bummed because he keeps traveling back in time. And he can always visit his dad whenever he wants.
That's right. And his dad, this is when his dad starts giving him some real time travel advice. He said, you know, live your life normal, just be a normal person, but then live that day again, just relaxed and enjoy it. You know, everything that's going to happen.
Right. The first day you get through it and the second day you can just kind of like enjoy the nuances and not be stressed.
You know what's going to happen.
They show a very short scene of him. Yeah. Going to a really tough meeting. And it kind of sucks. But then the next time he's in that meeting, he's like writing notes and stuff to his law partner and goofing off and making everything fun. So, yeah. So now Mary really wants to have a baby, but he knows once he has that baby, he can never go before it.
Right. So the thing that his dad told him was like, you can't risk going back before the time that your baby was born because you could change what your baby.
You wonder how the dad learned that.
Yeah.
Might not have been his first son.
So here's my question. So she's pregnant. The father has passed away. He's going back to visit his dad, you know, every now and then when he needs to. And she's very pregnant and she's about to give birth. And well, that's the thing. She asks for the third baby and he's hesitant because he knows that it's going to lose his past, I think is what he said. Did you guys say that already?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I was spacing out. So she's super pregnant, right? And it's basically the last time he's going to go visit his dad. But here's my question. If he travels before the time that the baby was conceived, couldn't he be changing something? And Scott had a good point. Remember what you said?
Well, I thought they said in the movie when the kid was born, but that doesn't make sense. If you're right, it should be.
Because he also says when the sperm enters the egg.
Right. So Scott made the point of like, well, you haven't seen the baby. You don't know which one it is.
Oh.
He's not attached to it yet.
But in this day and age, you at least, like, it's rare to not know the sex.
That's true. Maybe you at least know the sex, or maybe they wanted to be surprised. Some people don't want to know. They want to be surprised. So maybe that's, yeah. So he's up until the baby is born, I guess he can keep traveling because you don't know what it is, who it was, you know? But it was weird because they talked about like the specific moment the sperm hits the egg.
Yeah.
But yet he's traveling when she's like 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
So I thought that was weird.
I thought it was too. Thank you, Scott. That's a good point. I have a huge note here that says not birth, conception.
Yeah, but he hasn't seen it. He doesn't know what it is, who it is. He hasn't gotten attached to it. So I guess it's okay to travel.
So he jumps back to hang out with his dad.
Right. It's the last trip.
And I forget what spawns him to then jump together.
He asks his dad. His dad could tell by his face. He's like, oh, this is the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks his dad if there's anything he wants to do. And his dad said that he had one thing. And he thought, well, this shouldn't upset too much else about the universe. Of course, that's a pretty narrow-minded thinking of the butterfly effect.
But they went back 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, whoo. I mean, just imagine all the, yeah. I mean, I guess if they don't interact with anybody, make sure his sister's already born.
Yeah. But I mean, he was like, what, like 10 years old or something, and they're on the beach.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting to see the consciousness of the older man inside the 10-year-old's body.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
That would have been a good scene that they really should have captured, you know, talking about like his wife and children and he's 10 years old.
Totally. Yeah. What a fun scene on the beach.
Better than watching her change her outfit a million times. Show an adult man in a child's body through this weird paradox.
Yeah.
There are no paradox.
No.
So then that's it. The movie's over, right? Then they...
Eventually, he says, like, I stopped time traveling. I just learned, I appreciated my life without jumping back. I just treat it like I slow down. This is my second day. And
yeah,
there's a beauty in the world if you look for it and all that stuff.
So everybody, live your life like a time traveler.
Yeah. But that's a unique concept, right? We've seen going through time once and changing it. We've seen Groundhog Day. We've never seen someone that just does each day twice.
Yeah.
Like, you can do it better, just but not over and over, and just kind of appreciate it. It's kind of a neat concept.
So when he's
mentally older than he is physically.
Yeah.
If you repeat every day twice.
Yeah.
But what about sleep? Because your brain is what needs to sleep, not your body.
Well,
his brain is sleeping, but his consciousness.
Yeah. It's not his brain. The brain is
sleeping. It's the consciousness.
It raises all other kinds of things of consciousness and
yeah. What that
means to you.
So here's what I want to see. I want to see some parody skit where someone opens a closet and finds his body just like frozen with his eyes breathing. All the body functions are still going, but just like consciousness not there. And then being like, Tim, what's going on? Wake up. Right. And then puts him in like a psych ward and, you know, like, what's going on?
Totally. But I guess it's instantaneous because he comes back to his body probably the same second he left it.
Well,
because his body's not there in real time for 16 hours.
Why
2013 Tim goes back to 2010. As soon as 2013 Tim goes back, what does happen to his body? Someone goes to that room where he went in. Is he not there? Or is he like already said catatonic?
Again,
that timeline, why it just erases when he goes back. That also doesn't make sense.
Why is it instant, Des? Why do you think it's instant?
Because there's no way when he goes back to live his life, he live his day again, that when he then returns to his body, he's 16 hours in the future from when he left.
So you think that when they time travel back in time, in the past, it's taking however long it takes, hours or days, but in the present, it's just a blink of an eye?
Yes.
Well, that's only if he returns in the blink, but still, in between the time he leaves and returns without knowing when he's going to return, time's going on in the future still, too.
No, but that would be tantamount to future time travel. If you jumped back farther than when you left, then you'd basically be future jumping, which you can't do.
Wait, if you jump back farther than when you left, I don't understand.
He cannot do that.
But I don't understand why you would think that the time in the past is real time, but in the present, it's like a blink of an eye.
Because he would never sleep.
Wait, what? He goes back to you mean when he goes back the one day?
Yeah. Okay.
You live your day. You're about to go to bed in the future. You say, I'm going to the closet. You go back to the beginning of the day again. You're in the body of the guy that got rest. Your consciousness just went. Then that day you live throughout the day and then you go to sleep that night and you do the next day.
Say that again.
It's Monday night. It's Monday morning. You wake up, you do your whole day, you go to work, you're lying down in bed with your partner. You say, oh, about to go to bed. I said, I'm going to go to the bathroom for a second. You go to the bathroom, you do your thing, you show up, and now it's Monday morning.
Okay.
That version of you has just slept. It's the morning. You go throughout that whole day. You're back at the nighttime again. You kiss your partner and you go to sleep that night. The next day, you do that day the first day.
No.
And then you do the same and do it again your second.
He's got to jump back into his present consciousness. He can't just
live it out. Why? That's why. That's how you do every day twice.
Yeah, you're doing. It's in real time. It has to be.
Yeah, he doesn't have to go back. He can stay. He could go back 10 years and just live from that point on. But then, what happens to the future going at the same time? All the time gets erased because what you're doing for your own timeline, it's questionable. And what's happening while you're gone in the future? That should still be moving along.
Yeah. Is it just
frozen? No, then it's multiple timelines because then if he jumps back to 8 o'clock and never, if he jumps back to 8 a.m. and never jumps back to 8 p.m., Tim, he just lives through that timeline.
Yeah.
If what you guys are saying is true, then you just created another timeline.
That's not what this movie is suggesting, but it's also not thinking it out.
Right.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of holes.
I think, you know, we talk about this movie. I think about that short about the girl.
The 1 minute time machine.
Yeah. With the 1 minute time machine and the guy keeps hitting on her. And at the end, she says how he's so courageous because all these timelines he's left, they've all just died when he left.
That's right.
And he's like, oh, and you just show him dying in all these other timelines.
That's a great little mini movie.
Because that future that he's leaving, it does keep going. It doesn't just, he leaves and it just disintegrates. So it's interesting. That's why we do this podcast. We can talk about these things that our brains cannot conceive.
Just since you're our ethics man, Scott, I just want to ask you I think we kind of covered most of it. This one is definitely more ethically heavy than scientifically heavy. So,
you know, I hate to be the anti-romantic, but there is something ethically wrong about this. It's like this other person that's the partner thinks you're there and you're present. And it's not, you're keeping a lot away from her. And there's, you know, it's like in Groundhog Day, where he just dates her a million times to learn the perfect things to say, and they fall in love. But it's not like they really fell in love. He just kind of manipulated, learned her personality, and just said all the right things, learned how to play piano because that's what she wanted. You know, there's a way it's romantic, and there's a way it's not romantic.
And none of the women, his sister, as near as I can tell, is the only woman in 1,000 years that's known about these powers.
Right.
His mom doesn't know. Rachel McAdams doesn't know up to this point.
Yeah, he never tells his wife.
She's not really dating the real him. She's dating the him that he's been able to fix and manicure and adjust.
Yeah.
So there's a little something a little off about it.
Unethical.
That being said, if you're just like an awkward person, you're like, God, if I could just fix all the things and, you know, but she thinks he's this someone else. The third time he had sex, she thinks that's him. That's not. That's like the third version of doing it. There's something that, like, I always know more than you. I always control the situation and you can't. It's a little bit fucked up if you look at it in that way. I don't want to ruin the romance. It's romantic. It's cute. But like, yeah.
Like if they got into an argument and he didn't win the argument,
yeah,
he could go back and change things so that he does win the argument.
It's one-sided thing. She's mad that he can just change the day. That being said, he can change the day to make it better for her and learn from his mistakes. So you can look at it that way. He has one-sided control.
His mom has been romanticized by it because when his dad starts dying of cancer, she's like, I can't even fucking imagine living a day after he's gone.
Yeah, because he's probably always done the most perfect thing because he can go back and change it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's abuse of power. I mean, we would all do it.
It's certainly unethical.
If he told his wife, it would be more real and authentic, but she would always know that at any moment, is this the second time he's done this? What has he done? What has he changed?
Yeah.
She'd feel really uncomfortable and weird about it.
Every time he leaves the room, yeah, she's like, he's going to go travel.
And how would that feel like? Which version of him is that he knows more than I do about this and what I've done?
Yeah, this movie could get real dark real fast.
Yeah. Anyway, that's your ethics. You're welcome.
Yeah. There you go. Would you want this power? Either one of you?
Yeah. Yeah, you still do. That being said, on the heels of that, like... being able to change your fuck ups and just do little things and go back, re-experience days like that. Or even the part of doing a day twice. It's kind of a neat concept.
Yeah. I really like the idea of just living a boring day again and not being all anxious about what's going to happen and what's not going to happen and why the phone's ringing and just...
We've never seen that except in loop movies. Groundhog Day, they're just trapped for eternity and that's misery. But you can just do a day twice. You just do it better and you can stop and appreciate. We do. We just try to get through our day and like think about what needs to get done instead of like stopping to smell the roses. And it's kind of neat.
I would like this power if it was doing it at will. I would abuse that power much too quickly. But if there was some, like, you wasted so much energy doing it that you could really only muster the energy to do it like once a month. And even when you did it, like, it took more energy to go back farther. So to go back more than a month would just, you know, almost kill you. Like, if there was some kind of barrier on, like, just being able to just at any second just go back 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I would.
It's funny. I feel like instead of you're just by yourself one night, instead of like, I'm going to watch a show on Netflix, you're like, I'm going to go back to my friend's Sweet 16. I'm going to do my 24th birthday tonight.
You know what? I don't want to watch Back to the Future on DVD. I want to go see it in the theater.
In 1985. Wow. Yeah. I want to get back to that first date I had tonight. Yeah.
Do it again.
Really good on TV.
I mean, if you could go back in any time of your life, like, you could really change the direction of your life. You could do so many things over. And then if you come back to the present and you don't like the way it turned out, you can just go and undo it, apparently.
Well, yeah. And that's another thing this movie doesn't deal with. Like, again, you changing of any gravity in, like, you know, if you're in high school and you decide you have to run to meet the girl at her locker because every time you walk, you don't get there fast enough. So by running, you're knocking other people off their trajectory. And now they're not bumping. Like, what, I don't remember what movie we watched, but they're just like, Needle in a Time Stack, where there's like every time you go on a date with someone, you fuck up someone else's life.
Yeah.
Like, and this would abuse that ethically. Just,
yeah. You talk to your high school crush and you say the right things, but now she doesn't meet the person she was supposed to, and she changes his timeline and their family's timeline, and the repercussions are huge.
So Ari, I know you have two X chromosomes. So this is now we're back in science mode. But if you had this power, would you want it? How badly would you abuse it?
Absolutely, I would want it. Absolutely, I would use it.
You can't go in the future.
No, I know. I can't go in the future. And that's what I'm all about. But being able to go back and, like, redo some stuff. And not only, like, I've always thought a lot about going back and, like, talking to my past self, you know, interacting with my past self. This is, you are going back and you are your past self, but just with your present self's memories and consciousness. I would absolutely go back and, like, redo bad decisions and redo missed opportunities of my past and come to the present and see how it turned out.
Yeah.
Like, do I like this? Am I happy with this? Is everything okay? Or do I want to go back and change it and try it a different way?
That's another reason why I don't think you're in suspended animation in the future, because if you fuck up or change so much stuff and then you come back to the future, you're not married to the same person. You're not living in the same town.
Yeah, because it's ripple effect. It's ripple effect. Yeah. But my question is, you know, the dad has the power. Supposedly Uncle Desmond has the power. The kid had the power. So if they're all traveling at the same time to different times and it's still one timeline.
Who controls the timeline?
Yeah. Who gets to choose how it ends up? And, you know, do they affect each other? So there's a lot of stuff they don't get into. Like we said, this is time travel light. This is for beginners.
Uncle Desmond is the Time Lord. That's why he's so quiet and stoic, because he's the puppet master.
Right.
The movie's tone changes. Like, sometimes it's like quirky comedy. Sometimes it's like pretty serious. And it, like, tone changes where you're like, I'm not sure what I'm watching. Is this serious, sad drama? Is this romance? Is it just like floofy life is whatever? It changes. Doesn't know what it wants to be. It was a little bit frustrating.
Just trying to tell. It's just a long, long way to tell us to enjoy every moment.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath. Live it. Live life like it's your second time through, Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Ariel Gala.
And I'm Scott Lifton.
Bye bye now.
Time pop.
All right, folks, for our next episode, we have another listener request. Ari, who is the listener and what are they requesting?
Okay, so this comes from Matt B. from St. Paul, Minnesota.
All right. Hi, Matt. Thanks for listening.
And Matt says, hi, Des, Ari, and Scott. Love you guys and the podcast. You guys have been doing the top 10 from the This Is Barry list, but have not done Triangle yet. I know Ari mentioned not liking scary movies, but I think you would like it. What do you think? So Matt,
challenge.
Well, Matt is correct. I do not like scary movies.
I do.
I would opt out of this movie if you guys wanted to watch it and then explain it to me and I can still be on the podcast.
That's an interesting format change.
I love it. I think this might be our new format. I think from now on, one of us is just going to always be left out of the movie.
And then we have to explain it to them.
Yeah, it's going to be our new format.
That's an intriguing change. I like it.
I think actually, Scott, we're going to watch it, but we're just going to make Ari do the whole podcast.
What?
We'll just correct her when she's wrong. Yeah. That didn't happen.
No. Nope. No.
Well, there's a boat and there's some people and then they all have a party.
Well, let her do the synopsis and try to guess without.
How do you know about this book? So The Triangle from 2009, rated R, 99 minutes, keeping it in that double digits. Thank you, Matt. Directed by Christopher Smith. I grew up next door to a Christopher Smith. He was
I know Chris Smith.
He was a little bit of a troublemaker, but he taught me a lot. Starring Melissa George. Let me see if I know any of these people.
I know her. She was in Dark City.
She lives in Dark City?
She was in the movie Dark City, which is a great fucking film. She's been in some other shit. Or 90s, early millennium.
She's been in a couple of... Oh, she's in Star Trek Discovery. There we go. I like that. Been in a lot of shows. So...
You got a Hemsworth on there.
So Scott and I are going to watch this movie. Ari is going to hide in the bedroom. And then she'll come out and we will record an episode on Triangle.
Wow.
Next time. Are you excited about this at all, Scott? Like, I know you're willing.
All new format.
I know you're willing to watch it. Are you excited to watch it?
Yeah, I mean, it's in Barry's top 10. Now, prior to last week, Barry put for the number one your name, which to put that at number one, I'm just thinking Barry's a big anime film and maybe that's why, because that was a little bit.
Anime fan.
Yeah. It was a little not disappointing, but not number one compared to all these other films.
Yeah.
So explain to our listeners what the Barry's list is in case they're not familiar.
I'm going to read the top 10 This Is Barry list.
It's called This Is Barry list.
ThisIsBarry.com.
Films explained, every question answered. So he goes into all kinds of subsects. He has best time travel films, best movies filmed in one location, best sci-fi horror,
and
movies by genre.
Who is this Barry guy?
It's Barry. Everybody knows Barry.
It's Barry.
Barry, who are you and what is the significance?
Barry likes watching and discussing mind-bending films.
Who is Barry?
That's Barry.
We're going to do an episode finding out who is...
And is it Barry or is it Barry?
It's Barry.
It's Barry.
He's not a strawberry. He's Barry. There's always a difference between a berry you eat and a Barry you talk to.
So every, like I said, your name kind of seemed like a left field, but there's just under 100 movies on this list. Top 10, 12 Monkeys.
Yes.
The Infinite Man.
We're going 10 to 1.
That was very good.
Yes. In at number 8, Triangle.
Okay.
Tenet at number 7.
Yes.
Ooh, Barry, you're putting 6 above Tenet. Time Crimes.
Yeah.
Very good time travel. That was a time travel wise, though.
I disagree.
It was very interesting. It was well thought out.
My personal favorite at number 5, Primer.
Disagree. Right.
Number 4, Predestination.
Okay. I agree with that.
Number 3, Back to the Future, Part 1.
And here's what you're going to like.
Agree. In the top 10, I agree.
No, but listen, number 2,
Back to the Future, Part 2.
Above one. No one does that.
That's okay. Yeah, I agree with that.
I definitely agree with that. I am right there.
But number one, I don't agree.
I don't agree with
that. And the fact that Interstellar is not in the top 10, I super disagree.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's number 11, actually.
Hey, I challenge us. We should, on a future episode, develop, or for our internet, social medias, we should develop our top 10, top 20.
We should.
Maybe our own 3 lists, and we can compare.
Ooh, we should each do it and compare.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Now, but does it have to be movies that we've done?
No.
No.
Oh.
But movies that you've done are probably most of them.
Yeah.
But.
Ooh.
I think Interstellar might be number one.
Don't get away now. Shh, save it for the list.
Shh, shh, shh.
I think we should do that. And then we challenge the listener to beat that top 10 list.
I think I'm down to go for 20. We can do 10 also, or we can do 10 first and then the next 10.
You write out as many as you need to make your list make sense. And we'll decide how many we read online, and then we'll work our way back.
I like that.
Because I like Ari's idea too. I think we should dig up an old classic and add Scott to the conversation.
Yeah, so I had the idea of re-watching and re-recording one of our early episodes where it was just me and Dez, bringing you into the mix, because it's going to be a great movie and it's going to be an even better episode having the great Scott Lifton join us.
And I know I say it on every episode, I'm going to watch this movie again. I fucking never do. I haven't seen any of these movies since we recorded our episode. So it would be a whole new situation for me.
Maybe we should let Scott choose the movie.
Ooh, absolutely.
But anyway, thank you, Matt, for writing in. We love it when you guys write into us. We will see you on the next episode. Time Pop.
If you want to send in your movie recommendations, send them to timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. All right. I'm hot. It's late. I love you.
You are hot. It is late.
And we love you too.
It's about time. It's about that time to bring
forth the rhythm and the rhyme. I'm going to get mine, so get yours.
I want to see sweat coming out your pores.
Wiki, wiki, what?
I've got to double back again.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
This is that very special time of the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you don't know is Desmond McNeese has now left his building to go urinate. As he urinates, let's think not only of this time that he urinates, but all the time that he's urinated, or the times that you have urinated and wasted precious moments of your life. Let's take a moment to stop and appreciate all the things that happen when you urinate: the breeze you feel on your nose, the insects buzzing outside, the sound of the pipes that's almost music. These are the things to think about during this urination break. Anything you'd like to add? We never know. This is like time travel, because at some point Desmond goes back and listens to this, but we're not there for that. So it's like he's hearing about a past that he was never present for.
He doesn't ever keep these in the podcast.
Oh, he doesn't keep these in the podcast?
I don't think he's ever.
He keeps so much other stuff in the podcast. He doesn't keep these. Desmond, it occurs to me that we've never seen what your reaction to all these moments are, because you only experience these in your past. We experience in the present. You go and pee. And then probably weeks later, when you're editing these, you hear what we say.
I need to start then adding my response that you haven't heard.
Yeah. What are your reactions usually when you hear these things? Do you just kind of put your hand to your forehead and then fast forward through the rest of it?
Yeah, because you don't keep these in the podcast. Understandably, I don't think you should.
And I vacillate.
Oh, yeah, you do.